Mulaney!
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 Omaha!
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We suck. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed.
Go, man. Hey, Russell, man, you're doing more damn talking than you are damn playing today. You're doing more talking than you are playing today, Russell.
You get your red zone offense going with a toss sweep, reverse pass with a left-handed flanker. We saw that on a practice field, Mike. I wasn't sure if they were going to call that or they were just having fun.
You guys might want to try somebody else at right tackle. I like Drew. I don't like hitting him like that.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? I just hope we can win a game.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Balls of the E NFL show. It's Mick McCarthy here alongside Donnie Mahoney. Donnie, I tried something new this week. I went to try and go like with the tempo of the music. You know, to try and sort of mix up the intro a little bit to the Balls of the NFL show. Coming to you a day late this week, possibly because of Ireland's World Cup mishaps in a different sport, a different code. How are you? Are you back into NFL mode?
I'm doing well, yeah. I had a good weekend watching NFL. I think it was, you know, entertaining enough kind of slate of games. And I think we have a playoff picture that is taking shape very nicely, especially in the NFC. I think the AFC, we can already foresee the Patriots Chiefs AFC championship game, wherever it'll be, maybe Foxborough. Yep. But we can talk about that, you know, maybe maybe we can just leave the AFC really for 2 months, talk about it in January.
Maybe. Although the Steelers are 7-2, don't write them off. And they're playing the 6-3 Titans tonight in one of the best Thursday games in a long time. So that might be have already played by the time you hear this. But, you know, that's one of the more exciting and better AFC games that you're going to get for a while. There are some good teams. There are some bad teams. We've been reminiscing just before we started recording about the Jags and Chargers game from the weekend, which I don't know if there's much more that can be said about that bloody game. It was absolutely insane. My Twitter account actually just kind of summed it all up, where I said only the Jags could win a game like this. And then they didn't even win. The Chargers got it back again and went down, and then back and forth until eventually,
yeah,
the Jags somehow won the game
deep
with a Lambeau field goal.
Yeah, it was just, I'm trying to remember a game that was so insane for just weird things happening, and I guess stupid things happening, but yeah, like it was a car crash of a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Tom, I was just thinking of Tom Coughlin, how irate that guy gets, and he must have been sitting up and, you know, there he is running the show for Jacksonville, trying to bring in his own regime, and the amount of stupid things that his own team were doing, trying to throw the game away with these crazy penalties. The taunting penalty. Was it Marquise Lee who gets a pass interference penalty in the end zone, and then starts doing a sort of like ravishing Rick Rude dance?
Yeah.
And, you know,
there was an unnecessary roughness flag thrown for a late hit that nobody knew what was going on. Everyone thought it was like this egregious PI call, and the refs picked up the flag. I was like, no, but you, 15 yards, dude. And it was like, oh my God, the Jags are still the Jags. Remember we talked last year about an old Raiders play when the Raiders were at their worst, when they sacked the quarterback with like, you know, 20 seconds to go in the game. Mm. And they thought they'd ended the game, and the guy started celebrating the sack while the offense went up, snapped the ball, and they were offside. You know, made it a first down. They got a field goal and they lost, and it was the most Raiders thing ever.
Sure.
The Jags, Browns, Raiders probably still in there. And God, you're probably looking at the Chargers now with the way they lose close games, like another close game. So there's certain clubs that just shoot themselves in the foot time and time again. Like, but neither of these teams could win or lose the game on Sunday.
Yeah, the Chargers are like, I mean, if there's ever a team that like has managed to lose more games in the weirdest sort of ways, it would be the Chargers. Like, every three or four years they're screwing up in a major way. And like Jacksonville, you know, they're like, usually those are the games that go against them. I don't know. I guess it helps that they're up against the bad luck ridden Chargers, but you know, and then to think Josh Lambeau, who had been on the Chargers at the beginning of the season, let go. He, you know, there's Mr. Lambeau getting revenge on his old team. And, you know, Bortles, who completely bottled the fourth quarter and was throwing interceptions and doing the stupidest passes, somehow gets redemption, wins, helps, drives him to a field goal to win the game. And Jacksonville...
Serious contenders for playoffs.
Then. Yeah, perhaps...
Three in a row.
Perhaps the most entertaining team in the AFC, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Do you think Josh Lambeau will ever get signed by the Green Bay Packers?
It's a very good question. I think if he, like, his last day, you know, as a pro, he should sign like a one-day contract and just like...
Lambeau at Lambeau.
Kick one game, kick one kickoff at Lambeau Field.
Yeah. He's got to do a Lambeau leap.
I know. Yeah.
Could they give him like a 1 yard run for a touchdown or something like that? I know. The kicker would probably get killed trying to run for a touchdown, would he?
I'd love to see a kicker do a Lambeau leap, because I don't think that's ever happened before.
Did you see the Jags fake punt?
Tell me about it.
Did you miss this? God, it was in the first half they did it, and it's the second time they did it. They did it against the Ravens in Wembley. And remember that game where they won like 60-0? And they just snapped it directly to like a fullback style position blocking it, and he had a lot to do. So he got the first down straight away. It was a successful play, and he weaved in and out of guys for like 100 yards, or for, you know, 60 yards or whatever, and ran in for a touchdown. It was a class play. It was the play of the week.
I love an old fake punt.
Yeah, fake punts are great. Fake field goals are better though, because they're more confusing.
That's true.
You kind of don't know what's happening in a fake field goal until like 2 or 3 seconds in, and then you kind of watch the replay to see did they do it on purpose or not. Because you always think it could be a bad snap.
That was another. Was it the Packers, or sorry, the Jaguars game where they had the long snapper got hurt and they were trying to ice the snapper?
Oh yeah, ice the snapper. That was a classic.
What a game! That game had so much entertainment value.
Yeah, it was great. I was watching as well. Like I've talked about the fantasy team that I'm happiest with this year, that I'm top of the league on. I have my two running backs, other than Alvin Kamara, who's now obviously starting in every game because of how good he is, were Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette, and the two of them were just dominating early in the season for me. Now Gordon's cooled down, Fournette's randomly not playing in games.
What the hell's that about?
But then the two of them did nothing this year. But I'm watching most of that game going, why are you throwing it on first down all the time? You're winning the game. There's loads of time left. Yeah. And
your quarterback,
you're not using this running back, and you're using this like incompetent idiot of a quarterback. And when the game came down to it, as usual, Blake Bortles is both the best fourth quarter player in the NFL and the worst fourth quarter player in the NFL. And the difference is if the game's close or they're getting hammered. He only can do it when the pressure's off. He's
garbage time.
You would not trust him with your team. Under any circumstances, they have to bring in a quarterback. What else happened last week? The Colts did their outplayed the Steelers for 59 minutes, and then decided, "What are we doing here, lads? We're already 3-6. Yeah. If we win another game, we're getting like the 16th pick in the draft. We're idiots here." So then they threw the game, and the Steelers somehow managed to just get out of jail, having a terrible performance. But another touchdown, another performance from Juju Smith-Schuster. I find that very hard to say.
Yeah.
Youngest player in the NFL and your new favorite football player.
It's been a really, it's been a tough year for the NFL. I think, you know, everybody from Roger Goodell to, I don't know, some journeyman on the practice squad would admit that it's been tough for everybody. Like, the best player has been injured. There's all this protests. Well, not the protests aren't the problem, but all this crap with Trump and all this kind of stuff.
Suspensions.
Yeah, so we've really, you know.
Delayed suspensions.
Exactly, yeah. So we've needed somebody to come in and really energize the league. And Juju Smith-Schuster has done it. You know, I don't think there was much expected of him, but this guy's come in and he's just really energized everybody. He's got the best name in the league, I think, for...
Oh, without doubt.
You know, like, he's up there with Clinton Dix. I mean, he's been on...
Okay, maybe the joint best name in the league. The brick show's gone, is he?
I don't know. I don't hear from him as much. He's not with the Jets. So, Juju comes in, strong name, respect for the strong name, but also brilliant skill. I mean, the touchdown pass he had against Detroit 2 or 3 weeks ago with that 100-yard or incredible speed. Okay, so he's got the name, he's got the ability. He's got the youth. Three things going for him. But most importantly, he brings the content. He sees himself as a content creator out there. He's been doing some of the best touchdown celebrations I've seen in the league. So the touchdown I just mentioned there, the 100-yarder.
Yeah.
What does he do?
I don't remember.
He jumps on an exercise bike on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
And no, not only that, he finds a chain because he was so young that he didn't have a driving license. So he his bike had been robbed outside of practice, outside the Steelers facility. So he gets a chain from somewhere and pretends to lock up the exercise bike, saying, "Hey, everybody, look, I'm building on this joke I made about my stolen bike." That's pretty good. Then this weekend, scores another big touchdown for the Steelers, and him and Le'Veon Bell try to recreate the this Jalen Ramsey and AJ Green incident. Did you see that? The rear naked chokehold.
Yeah.
I mean, and then
it was good. Yeah.
And then what I admired the most from Juju after this incident, he said to the reporters, "Guys, we pulled it off. It didn't work. It sucked. We didn't practice it enough. We discussed it. We didn't like. We had an idea. Touchdown happened, and then we just didn't know what to do." Respect. He's saying, "Look, I can always do better.
You can do better. It's not like, yeah, he's analyzing his celebrations as much as his play. He just wants to get better. He wants to be a better NFL player, and that's commendable in this day and age."
If you follow him on, if you follow Le'Veon Bell on Snapchat, you'll have seen this thing in the Steelers dressing room from maybe Friday before the Colts game. They're having this sort of like basketball contest, shooting a basketball into a garbage can.
Yeah.
Juju's got the ball. He's about, I say, 30 feet away. And he's like, I'm going to hit this. He's obviously some bets going on in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Sinks it. Nails
nothing
it.
But net.
Nothing but net.
Or basket.
Oh, it was a great moment. He's a legend.
Yeah. He's already a legend. The youngest player in the NFL is a legend. But funny you mentioned the celebrations there. Yeah. We might see another one tonight. Maybe he'll do a better version of the other one tonight against the Titans,
maybe,
if he can
maybe
score again. He should be probably in your fantasy team by this stage, actually, because he's definitely replaced Martavius Bryant as the second receiver on the Steelers. Is that the right person?
Martavius.
Okay. You looked at me funny. I thought I'd screwed up, Donnie. But speaking of celebrations, reputable sports website, Irish sports website, Boz.ie, did a countdown of the top 10 best NFL celebrations of the 2017 NFL season so far on, I think, Monday. So you'll be well able to find, put it into your Google machine there, and you'll be able to get it up. But an amazing season. The best thing the NFL have done in a long time, the No Fun League, is relax the celebration rules.
It's been an incredible season. Like, it's been the shining light of the season, the touchdown celebrations. Really incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Really, and
what's been your favorite? Travis Kelce is a good one for he has one organized all the time. He did the sack race, which has been my favorite, I think, so far.
That was a good one. Yeah. There was what's his name? Tyreek Hill and those guys were involved with that one as well.
Yeah. So they all lined up and did a race, and then I think they'd fall down in order, and then the last person standing celebrates.
What I really liked about the celebration this year is that they're all sort of, they involve like multiple guys. So back in, say, the 90s, when celebrations were pretty good, you know, it would be one person coming up with something. So Terrell Owens was a real innovator in the field of touchdown celebrations. He had the Sharpie celebration, pulled the Sharpie out of his sock.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff with the fans. I don't know. I can't remember any. The pom-poms.
He went back to the halfway line in Dallas and put the ball in the middle of the star.
Yeah,
that was...
yeah, all those kind of things. But he was working on his own. But clearly the players are saying, look, we're going to have a touchdown this week. What are we going to have in our back pocket for when this happens? And the one I thought that I really liked was, it was the Philadelphia Eagles. They were killing somebody in a game. And they did this thing. They just did like a mock-up of like a baseball pitch. So like they scored a touchdown. All of a sudden, like a catcher appears, an umpire, a pitcher, somebody hits home run. And this is right during the Major League Baseball playoffs. So it was very timely.
Yeah.
And it just, there's something about watching the guys from one sport pretending to play another sport that I thought was really funny. I don't know why.
It is good. For a long time when they weren't really allowed to do anything, just like the hitting the home run was always one. So it was nice to see it expanded into an actual organized play
of
baseball. Like one actually that I loved at the weekend that isn't an organized celebration that actually goes against everything we're saying and would have been allowed last year was Mark Ingram did a kind of a Lambeau Leap style thing in Buffalo. Found the only Buffalo. Like, and it's funny, I always wonder when Cam Newton scores a touchdown, how is there always a Carolina fan? They're on the road. How is there always that one person? Are they plants that are behind him? But Ingram clearly couldn't find the Saints fan and then found one, ran over to him, jumped up and lied beside him, and then someone just throws a drink. it looked cold in Buffalo. Cold. So I can imagine how cold the drink was. But in fairness, most of the Buffalo fans were like celebrating with him. It was like, they're like, this isn't going to be our season. Let's just enjoy the NFL player who just had an incredible game. The Saints had 6 rushing touchdowns.
Mm.
Two for Kamara, three for Ingram, and one by Breeze even ran in for one.
Did you see that play?
Yeah, I did see it.
It's one of the best blocks you'd ever see.
Who was the blocker?
I couldn't tell you. I should know, but
yeah,
the lineman just basically like pancakes a guy.
Oh, it was a lineman. It wasn't outside. It was
no,
receiver or anything.
Breeze
was
like, should I run it? Should I throw it? Should I run it? Should I throw it?
And he, slow motion running
this guy,
to the end zone.
Yeah, this lineman is sort of in front of him, and he just completely flattens a guy.
Oh, I'm sorry to miss that. I hate when I miss a good block, because the that's some of the most satisfying things you can see in an NFL game. But I watched a lot of that, and as I had like nearly all those guys on different fancy teams, but the Saints are just just the opposite of what you've come to expect from the New Orleans Saints. Breeze is not spreading the ball. I mean, they've got one receiver who's outstanding, but after that, they're kind of like, you're relying on like Ted Ginn and Brandon Coleman's and all kind of like second level guys.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas obviously is the most, he had like 100 yards at halftime last week. But after that, like, it's running. And it's this like Ingram, I think Kamara's presence has actually stepped up Ingram's game, because they're such different runners. I don't know what if the defenses know what to expect when they're there. And the Saints have won, I think, now six in a row or something like that. You know, they lost their first two games of the season. It might even be seven in a row.
I think, yeah.
And they went into Buffalo, which isn't an easy place to go, and just took care of business. They absolutely hammered them without throwing a touchdown.
I mean, they ran the ball, I think, on one drive, 10 consecutive plays. So, like, it just shows you they're just like teams know it's coming. It's kind of an old school thing. It's very unusual, but nobody can stop it. I mean, I think it's brilliant. Like, it's a strange, it's sort of like,
I love it. I actually really like running football, I have to say, especially when it's successful and you can just see guys, you expect them to get 6-7 yards every time they step up.
That's the thing. And I think because like defenses are always fearing that Breeze might sort of play fake and just throw the bomb, that like they have to respect that sort of downfield pass, you know?
You can see it a bit with the Patriots as well. I think there's two things at play here, is that one, you have a lot of different guys who can do different things. So it's kind of two for the Saints, and it's four, to be honest, for the Patriots, that have four different guys that are kind of all a bit different who are running the ball. But also you have that tread of the great quarterback.
Yeah.
So you can never sleep on them. Even if you had no receivers, it's like you don't know when Breeze is going to decide. With Blake Bortles, you've got Fournette there. You can put nine men in the box, because if Bortles beats you, you put your hands up and say, right, we didn't see that coming. He's better than we thought.
Well,
we did.
Done,
but
Blake.
You're never going to sleep on Brady. You're never going to sleep on Breeze. These great quarterbacks should always have a great running back.
Mm.
Like, it's our running game, I guess.
Yeah. Just before we move on from that, I mean, interesting news out of Buffalo this week. They saw enough from Tyrod Taylor, and they've decided they're going to bring in their rookie QB, Nathan Peterman, which seems like an odd decision. It's a move that smacks of desperation.
Panic, yeah.
Buffalo...
Screws my fancy team, too.
We must have talked about how good the start of their season was. They lost two in a row. They were very flat against the Jets, and they got completely destroyed on Sunday. Very interesting move. They're going to the rookie. Tyrod, I guess, while being, it seems to me, quite a consistent performer and producer, and a very decent quarterback, just does not really seem to ever impress anybody, and is always fighting for his job around week 9 or week 10.
Yeah,
and
they don't like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to, it seems like if you look at the AFC, right, we talked about how stacked the NFC is before. If you look at the AFC, you've got the four division leaders, and I think they're pretty more or less locked. The Pats, the Chiefs, let's say one of Tennessee or Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. Yeah. I think you'll get two teams from the South, right? So the Jacksonville and Tennessee will both be there. So you have one wild card team, and you're looking at that wild card team. You've got Baltimore 4-5, crap. Raiders 4-5, crap. Houston. Bills 5-4, in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Like,
and Houston.
Houston 3-6.
Yeah.
Crap. Like,
well, no players anymore. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, they're gone. Like, and then you got like the Bengals, the Broncos, Chargers,
Dolphins 4-5, Jets 4-6.
I think I saw a thing on Football Outsiders that the Dolphins are technically the worst team in the league according to all stats. Like, they managed to win four games.
What sort of a season is it? The Dolphins have four wins. The Jets have four wins. The Bengals were weird, actually, because they had one. The Ravens shouldn't have four wins.
Yeah.
The Colts shouldn't have three wins. And after that, you're probably looking at when normally you'd expect like Denver, Chargers, etc., to have that amount. But yeah, it's the AFC is weird but this season.
I think Buffalo are 3 wins from a playoff spot, so I don't know what. Like, it would seem like you'd want to consolidate what you have. I know they have 2 games left against New England, so you know, like, it seems crazy that they would do this, but I don't know.
I wonder about their GM and their coaching. So obviously I think this might be a GM call, because it consistently happens that Taylor's definitely a he's a productive quarterback. Yeah. I thought the Benjamin signing reeked the panic.
It's weird though.
I thought that was one where Carolina were probably better off holding on to Benjamin, and I think Buffalo were probably better off without him.
Well, Carolina have been amazing since they got rid of him.
Yeah, okay, right. And Devin Funchess just looking like the player we never thought he was going to be, yeah.
And McCaffrey all of a sudden is running in touchdowns. So I don't know how I don't know how getting rid of Benjamin has been good for, it doesn't seem like how you would, losing a strong receiver would actually free up your offense. But anyways, coincidentally or not coincidentally, Carolina have been really good. But Buffalo haven't used Benjamin at all. And it seemed like bringing a rookie quarterback in is probably not the best way to get him volume and all that kind of thing. So I don't, this seems like a bizarre thing. You feel sorry for Tyrod, but I'm sure he'll get paid somewhere next season, probably maybe the Jets or someone like that, you know.
You mentioned Roger Goodell earlier. Have you seen the leak about his contract negotiations?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit about it. I mean, he's already a very wealthy individual.
Yeah, but he's going to get a lot wealthier pretty soon.
Yeah.
So he's looking for... It's more likely than not to happen at the moment. Apparently Jerry Jones is the one who's fighting it. They want them there for the collective bargaining agreement, which is up in 2020. So that's another... You'd imagine the players are going to get a nice chunk of the pie next time. But Goodell, more than likely going to go, asking for a salary of... Originally reported as $50 million a year.
Mm.
There was a quick correction made by ESPN. $49.5 million a year. But, you know, $500,000 here, $500,000 there.
Facts matter.
Yeah, it adds up to real money eventually. Use of a private jet for life.
For life, yeah, I saw that. Well, yeah, okay.
That's lifetime health insurance for his family. I don't mind that. That's fair. Like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as such. Although he's being paid $50 million a year. He's about to get a nice significant tax cut as well, I would think. He was paid $31 million in 2015, which is the last available figure.
Yeah.
So it's a nice hefty rise for a guy who's brought the game into nothing but disrepute over the last few years, I would say.
It's a weird one. It's like, I could see it from his side a little bit. I mean, if you're thinking like, okay... In 2011, the NFL signed a TV contract that was worth $27
billion. Right? A lot of money for an administrator, though.
Well, he's not just the administrator. He has to deal with all... he's the public face of the organization.
€360,000, I would say, is...
It's like John Delaney's wage.
Is it? Oh, right, okay. Plus it may be an extra $100,000 from a different source. Maybe that's a fair wage for an administrator.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but if the administration that you...
Would Goodell get us to the World Cup?
I don't know. See, I don't think that's really his job, per se. Uh-huh.
Would he get the USA to the World Cup, do you think?
As a manager?
Well, if he was running US soccer.
Yeah, I don't... He doesn't really seem to have any particular skills at administration other than getting the TV companies to pay a lot of money. It seems like...
But sure, the TV companies... I'm sorry, but I could do that. And I could, because I'll tell you why. Because every TV channel, every TV station, company, whatever you want to call them, in America wants the NFL. It's a cash cow. So you need that live... Live sports like the last thing that you can sell ads on.
Yeah, although the ratings are dropping.
They're still huge, though.
Yeah.
Right? They're dropping, but they're huge. So if Fox, NBC, ABC, TNT, all networks, all cable and ESPN, obviously, and all cable and network stations want the NFL, it's a bidding war.
Yeah.
Goodell's doing nothing.
Well,
anyway, he's getting $50 million a year for that nothing. So he gets booed in a lot of places. I wouldn't say that's easy.
That's it. He can't travel to Boston anymore.
He likes people getting suspended.
Yeah.
Well, he's belatedly wants people suspended. Originally, he didn't really care.
Would you want that job? You said you could do that job, but would you want that job?
Oh, no, I'm not saying I could do Roger Goodell's job.
No, that's what you said. Rewind the tape.
I said I could do the negotiations and get a really good deal for the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah. I could do that much. I mean, if I had help.
That's probably the most important part.
If I had a table of lawyers...
Yeah, okay.
So who are also helping me with the small print.
But you could go into... You said Jerry Jones. No, not Jerry Jones. I guess the head of Fox. Or,
yeah. Dick Ebersol. Is he still knocking around? I'd say Dick.
Yeah.
Dick, I like your Sunday Night Football coverage. I like Al Michaels. I like Chris Collinsworth. I don't want to give this away. But you know what? ABC are offering me so-and-so. I just make up a number. It's a high number.
Okay.
And then they say, okay, well, we'll offer double that. And I say, right, okay. And I go to ABC and I say, lads, NBC are doing a great job, but what we really miss is ABC coverage in the NFL. We really miss it. But look what NBC, and I double their offer. And we just go on. I just lie.
Well, they ordered the deal by Michael McCarthy.
You just hope that they're not talking to each other. But if they are, it's illegal.
Yeah.
And you sue them all.
Okay. That's fair.
And hence you have all the table of lawyers.
My mind's been blown here, but any, like...
Easy to, easy done. This is what I do in my Balls.ie contract negotiations every year. I'm earning a ridiculous wage for this job, it has to be said. Will we get on to picks, or is there anything else we need about?
No, I think we can
talk about things through our picks.
Tell me this, speaking of picks, who's your pick then to get that AFC wildcard spot?
I don't think it's going to be Buffalo, because I just feel like they're falling apart. And I think if they're going to go with a rookie quarterback, I think there's too much settling in there. They have to play the Pats twice. And earlier on the season, I would have been really worried about that as a Patriots fan. But not anymore. I just think that they've found their feet and Buffalo are going backwards. So I would think that it's going to be... Oh, God, I hope it's not Baltimore.
Yeah, wouldn't that be terrible?
Like, there really is only five playoff-worthy teams. Yeah, and to be honest, two of them are Tennessee and Jacksonville.
It's true. So, I mean... It's a shame that the NFC can't get a seventh spot. Wouldn't that be good?
Is there any chance Miami could keep?
I don't know.
Hilariously winning games.
I don't. They've been playing really bad lately, and
they've been playing really bad all season.
But they've been getting hammered on primetime. So I don't know. I'd be surprised.
They're back to a normal game this week for the first time in years, seemingly.
Mm.
There's a lot of games last week. I know. I actually was when I was like, I haven't seen any of these teams play. Like, I mean, have they been on bye weeks forever? I think it was like Detroit. It was like I was watching them against Cleveland, thinking I can't remember the last time I saw them play, because I think they were on Monday night against Green Bay.
Yep.
And then they were on a bye the week before, and I think they were on primetime the week before, in a game that you weren't bothered catching up with, you know, just like a complete nothing game against like Tampa or someone.
Yeah.
But there was a good few teams like that. But Tampa and Miami this week is the hurricane delay game.
Oh, okay.
So we've two teams less on bye week than we should have had at this stage of the season, which is kind of nice.
It's the sort of pre-Thanksgiving week. So whatever that means, but we'll have Thanksgiving to talk about next week.
We'll have a special Thanksgiving show next week.
Mm.
I'm going to get in turkey. I'm going to get in some people around the office to tell their NFL stories, and we're going to have Donnie live from New Jersey.
How about that?
Where he'll go to see his family, maybe taking a game next week.
My first Thanksgiving in about 10 years.
I was thinking you were here last week, actually. Yeah, it's Christmas you normally go home for, isn't it? Yeah,
right.
Okay, so Donnie's going to be on Skype live from Thanksgiving, even though it's probably going to be Tuesday. But
good. So we got the Lions and the Vikings. That's actually a good game.
This week?
This year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Thanksgiving. And you've got Cowboys, Chargers, potentially interesting, and Redskins, Giants. Ooh, I like that game.
Redskins, Giants is good, yeah. Oh, God, being home for a Giants game is going to be pretty good.
But the Giants are so bad. This is the, like, I'd completely forgotten how terrible
they Thanksgiving
were.
Sort of is a day of its own, no?
No, it's the late game. By that time, you're sick of games anyway. Okay. And then the idea of watching, like, Eli Manning throw into, like, Rod Lewis or one of the, whoever these guys.
Rod Lewis sounds like a made-up name. I'm sure he does exist. The late game on Thanksgiving, though, I find is just Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, pretty
much. It's generally not even that good a game. You have your Detroit game and your Dallas game, and then it's just the Thursday Night Football is normal, so you can take it or leave it. Except they don't do the color rush, I don't think.
No, it's too traditional for color rush.
Yeah. Detroit and Dallas, though, I like that. The problem with Dallas now is maybe it might be different by next Thursday, but for this week, is Ezekiel Elliott's out. That seemingly has been settled. It seems like he's going to accept the ban.
No, it has. He accepted it.
And so it's over now. He'll be gone for another 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So he won't be there on Thanksgiving. Neither will their left tackle, whose name has been on my head all week, but now that we come into it, I've forgotten it. And Sean Hill looks like he's in trouble as well. So they're three of Dallas's probably five most important players, and they're all gone. So they might be someone to look at for the start on the spread this week when we're starting to look at our bets. Last week, Donnie finally picked up a win. I had a really bad 1-2. Like, I mean, I was absolutely hammered. I don't know what I was thinking picking the Bills as small underdogs at home to... The Saints, and I picked Dallas, not knowing about all those injuries.
Yeah,
so that was terrible. But you had a pretty impressive 2-1, I think.
Yeah, I got behind the Buccaneers, which was that was my favorite pick of the week. Was Ryan Fitzpatrick getting revenge against the Jets? I mean,
oh, and he was still shit.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And the Jets were just a shit show. So predictable that, and it was just sort of like mastering the logic of NFL. Like the Jets had their best win of the season. They beat Buffalo up at home. They had a longish week to kind of prepare for Tampa Bay, who didn't have their quarterback. You would think that they
and Mike Evans was suspended.
They're playing the quarterback who, you know, their old quarterback. So they should be really prepared for this game. They should be really up for it. And Tampa Bay, who were terrible, just win the game. So that was, I felt very nice about that one. I was riding my luck up and down with the Jaguars. I had the Chargers. I think it was 3.5 points. They were underdogs giving.
Yeah, I think I had 4 or something, so you were safe like enough there in the end.
So, but who knows, where that game could have gone in any direction.
Yeah.
There, at one point, they nearly had a pick six or something returned, and then there was a passer, I don't know, illegal block. Anywho, I got that game, and then stupidly, Pittsburgh playing a bad team, Indianapolis, it was like +10, and like, of course, Pittsburgh just like, hang on, they get an ugly win.
As we said earlier, probably should have lost the game.
Yeah.
So that's that means that Donnie has closed to within 1 for the season. It's 3-2 if you're keeping score. I hope you're playing along at home. You're probably well ahead of us at this stage if you listen every week, you know, all 7 of you.
Hopefully you are.
I think we're probably up to about 15 now, actually, of like every week constant listeners, you know.
Oh,
I just feel it in my bones.
I think we pick up listeners as the season goes.
Yeah, it's actually like we do actually have like you know, some fairly basic analytics that would suggest that a lot more people listen to it than we let on here, just in case you think that you're one of the 12 or whatever, you
mm-hmm.
know. You're more like one of the like 94.
So who do you got this week, Nick?
I don't know, Donnie, I'm killing time. Can you okay. not tell?
Do you want me to go first then?
No, I'll go first. It's my turn to go first. It's only fair that I take some of your teams away from you. The Patriots are playing the Oakland Raiders in Mexico City.
See, senor.
This week.
Oh, and that's going to be on TV. It's not going to be one of these.
No, it's on at like 9:05 or 9:25. So it's on. It'll be on TV, or it'll be up against the Bills and the Chargers and the Bengals and the Broncos, which is now a terrible game. On Red Zone, so you'll probably see most of that.
There's two games I have no line for. I've got no line on the Buccaneers and at Miami.
Okay, why is that? I have that as a scratch.
Okay, maybe that's okay. Yeah. And then Buffalo at Chargers. It says NL. Does that mean it's a scratch as well?
I've got the Chargers -6.
All right, okay.
So I think we could probably go with that then, yeah?
Okay, we'll go with that. That's fine with me.
So I'm not going to take that game. I'm really doubting myself here.
Okay.
Poor old Cleveland.
Oh, dear.
I suggested last week I should take them with the spread against Detroit. Then said, no, that's ridiculous. If anything, I'd go for Detroit.
Yeah.
Then they had me regretting it for 3 quarters and then did the Cleveland thing. And lost the game and lost easily. So,
yeah,
you know,
close.
They're never really going to change, I don't think. They're probably worse at home because of the fear that they have and the crowd that turns against them. And the Jags are the Jags. And, you know, with no pressure, I will take them. You know, I think Myles Garrett could mess them up a little bit. But, you know, I think -7.5, I'll take the Jags against one of the worst teams that we've ever seen. Weirdly, the Houston Texans, the Arizona Cardinals is some shit show. I can't even remember who's going to be quarterback for the Cardinals. It's
Blaine Gabbert, I think.
Blaine Gabbert. I was, oh, for God's sake. Yeah, I don't know. How about the Bucs?
Okay.
Against Miami, there's no line on that, so I'll just take them to win.
Gotcha.
And then I need a home team, so I'll take the Saints -7.5. I don't feel good about any of these picks. It's a tough week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's confusing.
Actually, I'll take that. I'll take the Eagles -3.5 on the road to Dallas. Yeah. That's the way to go there, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. Okay. Yeah, there's some interesting games. This Rams-Vikings game, potential NFC championship game preview.
Maybe.
Vikings have been interesting, like very, very efficient on offense with Case Keenum, but then they've got Teddy Bridgewater just sort of lurking in the shadows. They're ready to come back.
Yeah.
I wonder how long they'll persist with that.
Well, you see, when they're winning games and getting the job done, this could be the week they don't, though, because the Rams are putting like 40 points on everybody.
Yeah, Rams,
they're running up the score. I love it.
Rams schedule over the next 4 weeks, they're playing Minnesota, then they're playing the Saints,
Right.
Then they're playing the Cardinals. Then they're playing the Eagles.
Mm.
So the three main contenders for the NFC, they're playing them.
Yeah, but we've forgotten another team.
And then sorry, the week after, they're playing Seattle. Boom.
Yes. That's the other team.
What a
because
run.
Because I'm looking at Seattle here, who are going to fuck up week to week because they're just that kind of team at the moment.
Yeah.
But that Rams schedule is dodgy. I think we're anointing them as NFC West champions too early.
Too soon.
Because the Seahawks have a decent record, and I think they'll win on Monday night against the Falcons as well, and then mm-hmm. we'll see how they are then.
Okay. Well,
take them minus three, yeah?
I'm going to take...
Sorry, who did you go with there, Minnesota?
I think I'm going to go with the Rams. I think I like them in that game. Plus two and a half. Yeah, I think they can win that game, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting game that at least you'll be able to watch.
Exactly, there's a bit of engagement. Yeah, Andy Reid off the bye week, isn't that one of the greatest truisms in life?
Yeah.
The Chiefs are coming to the Meadowlands. I don't know. Like, I'd rather have no engagement with this game, but I'm going to take the Chiefs because it's 10 just points. Seems easy. Yeah,
10's a lot. No,
10.5. I have here.
Okay,
so I think they'll rough them up.
All right,
and. What do you think about Falcons Seahawks? That's an interesting game.
Good live games this week.
Yeah, so all of a sudden the games are interesting.
Just because they got rid of Miami.
And Green Bay and Baltimore, right?
Green Bay and Baltimore.
I was tempted by them last week. I backed them 2 weeks ago. Brett Hundley not very good, but. Like, they're playing Chicago, division rival. You could see they didn't, like, the game sort of meant something to them.
Mm.
And, like, Green Bay are not out of the playoff picture by any means. Baltimore off a bye. I don't like Baltimore. I don't like them favorites on the road anywhere. I know I think there's some good momentum behind Green Bay. I think they're being underrated by the bookies. So I'm going to take them as 2-point underdogs at home against Baltimore.
I like it. I was afraid to do it because I just don't know enough about Lundley.
Yeah.
Lundley. Is that even his name?
Hans. The Hun.
So I was kind of scared about it, but I do like the pick. So that's pretty good. There's some good games. Did you see any of the Patriots and what are they called? The Broncos.
I didn't. No.
Like, it's funny because like when a rival goes down, you always are happy to see it happening and then immediately miss them.
Yeah.
But the Broncos are a sad sack.
What happened?
Like, they've no quarterback, but, like, even their defense, like, I think really is missing Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, I mean, watching Von Miller against a guy, Marcus Cannon was out for the Patriots.
Yeah.
The right tackle. So they had a guy I've never heard of playing right tackle, and he had, like, Von Miller just wasn't making any kind of moves whatsoever. He was in pass coverage a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And it was just, even that and, like, Brock Osweiler back at quarterback, doing well for the first few minutes. Like, Sanders had a huge game. He was really, really good, but there's just nothing going on with them. They're just a really, really poor, like, and downbeat, I think, like, maybe, like, disheartened team.
Yeah.
They were talking before the game, you know, when, like, Michelle Tafoya is talking about, I was talking to so-and-so this week, and it's like, they conceded that, like, 40 points or something the week before, and it's like, that's not what the Broncos are supposed to be doing, and they're like, you know, we'll never let that happen again. We let ourselves down, our fans down. It's like, you just went out and did the same thing again the next week. Like, that's just the team they are now all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's weird, though. It happened very suddenly.
It did.
I mean, Patriots fans will always dread that trip to Mile High every year.
Yeah.
And it never turns out well. I mean, but they've beaten Brady more than any team in his career. And I mean, what did they put up? 41 points or something?
A comfortable win.
Yeah. Like, I know there's some special teams activity on that game, but like,
that was it. I always think, like, and that's actually, I forgot about that, but that's really important. Like, if you're talking about a team just being in disarray, when your special teams is falling apart and making, like, 3-4 mistakes, like...
Terrible sign.
Yeah. So they played the Bengals this week at home, and it's one of those ones that I didn't go for because they're, like, -2.5, and the Bengals are just as bad.
Yeah.
So you don't know, but, like, it could be the week that they get it back together and then they say, right, let's start again. Because, weirdly, they're not out of it. We've talked about how bad the AFC... Like, if they get 3 wins in a row, they're well in line for a wild card place, but I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with them. But that's it from me anyway, Donnie.
Alrighty.
We'll talk to you in New Jersey.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
Thanksgiving week. Well, I'll talk to you in 2 minutes, but when the listeners are.
And everybody else.
So I'm going to get, I think Mark in, he's who's been given out about his NFL fantasy team and does it in a more entertaining way than myself and Donnie did last week. We had a complaint or two about that.
Did we?
One or two, yeah. You don't check your Twitter mentions, I don't think, these days. But complaint is probably too strong a word. I think people generally enjoy
that tweet. Okay.
Yeah. So we might have Mark in, we might have Mikey in. We'll see how we go. We'll have a bit of a Thanksgiving celebration here as we look forward to one of the better days, one of the only days in the year when you get to go home from work and just put on an old Detroit Lions game.
Love it.
Relax. And Donnie will be in Joyzy. And we'll talk to him then. Have a good week. Enjoy the football.
Bye.
Remember, for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward.